Well, good day and welcome to another exciting edition of Green Fleet Radio. Today, our guest is Mr. Tucker Perkins. He's the CEO of the Propane Education and Research Council, or PERC. Tucker, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Carl. I'm glad to be here today.
Well, Tucker, could you tell our listeners what is PERC?
Yeah, PERC is an agency that really represents, if you will, the propane industry and users of propane to really do one of three things. Either make our industry and consumers use propane safer, to make sure that it's being used properly, and perhaps the most important thing is to make sure that our technology continually evolves and improves so that propane is a part of the energy future for America for the next 100 years.
Sure. And so why do fleets choose propane autogas over gasoline or diesel, Tucker?
Well, it's been, you know, gasoline and diesel have been so entrenched as the fuel. But as all of us realize that toil for clean air, many fuels are better. And propane is one of those fuels that worldwide has been recognized as one of the better, cleaner fuels for vehicles. And so the reason people do it, I would like to say, is because it's cleaner. The emissions are much better across a whole host of pollutants. But the other reason is all the other parts that we never talk about beyond emissions. The cost of the vehicle, the cost of the fueling infrastructure, all of that packaged together when it's for propane autogas is such a pleasing choice that that's one reason the industries across the country and really across the world are choosing propane autogas. They get a clean fuel, reduced emissions, but they also get a very economical package for their business and makes their business more competitive.
You know, I know you just talked about some of the benefits, but so what are some of the other benefits to a community for using propane autogas?
Well, I think nowhere has that, you know, become more pronounced than as communities have changed from diesel school buses to propane school buses. So I'll use that as an example, but I think that's an example of where it works for UPS or for water delivery or for your pest control company. But in diesel pollutants, historically, are high in particulate matter. Particulate matter is a known carcinogen and harmful to lung health and particularly harmful to children's lung health. Well, 10, 12 years ago, we began migrating from diesel school buses to propane school buses, really around that one emission particulate matter. As we began getting a host of buses out into the marketplace, 1,000 or 1,500, the fleet managers realized that several things were happening. One, those buses were, in fact, cleaner for particulate matter, and that was achieving what they wanted. Their cost of operation was reduced. The buses were quieter, and we knew they were quieter on the outside, but we never thought about quieter on the inside. Now a driver is much more in control of the bus. Here's what's going on. The communities that they're operating in are not only benefiting from reduced particulate matter, but reduced greenhouse gases, reduced nitrogen oxides, all kinds of harmful pollutants. And then finally, the school system said, wait a minute, now that we've switched from diesel to propane, we not only are saving money, and they talk about that in cents per mile or dollars per bus, but all of a sudden they begin talking about it in terms of being able to hire more teachers, being able to fix leaking roofs. And so the first event, changing from diesel to propane, which is all about emissions and frankly about one emission, has now changed to where fleets are changing. And when they do that, they realize their communities are cleaner, but they also have more teachers, better schools. And it's a fundamental shift in changing how schools have operated just because of the way they changed the way they were fueled. And you know, we see that with other companies. UPS is kind of the marquee company, if you will, that talks about their conversions from gasoline or diesel over to propane and natural gas. But, you know, there are a host of companies operating right outside your window that are operating on propane for all those same reasons.
Sure. You know, very exciting times for the school bus industry here in Indiana. We're very excited to hear about all the exciting projects that are going to be moving forward with all the different school bus fleets. But so as you talk about propane, can consumers actually get propane for their personal vehicles?
Well, the answer is they can, but as an industry, we've never really advocated for that. And to be quite honest, I think for most consumers, the agony of finding a vehicle that works for them with the conversion equipment, a place to refuel, all of those agonies are probably too much. You know, we, we consistently look for customers to use propane where payload and range really matters, and where the benefits show up. So, you know, for a consumer who's driving, perhaps even a person that drives a lot, 50 or 60 miles a day, they don't really have an opportunity to achieve tremendous benefit. We're looking for fleets that are driving 200 miles a day or 100 miles a day, keeping those vehicles a long time, typical of a school bus or a UPS truck or a water delivery or even an HVAC, you know, company, where those vans are out every day, starting getting 4 or 5 miles per gallon, perhaps driving 100 miles every day, 5 days a week. That's where the benefits really add up. And so we have not had a consumer-facing business model. We've really had an industry-facing business model where payload and range matter.
I see.
They get the benefits of the economics, but also the community gets the benefit of the reduced emissions. And that's the win-win.
You're listening to Green Fleet Radio. Our guest today is Mr. Tucker Perkins, CEO of the Propane Education and Research Council. Tucker, can you talk a little bit about emergency responders, and is propane an option for emergency responders?
Well, so the answer, quite frankly, is yes. And we have spent the last 3 years working with a few government agencies to study just what had been happening. And so, you know, we saw it with Katrina, we saw it with Harvey, we saw it with Superstorm Sandy. We've seen it with a lot of disasters where you have a horrible hurricane or a flood or something, and all of a sudden the gasoline and diesel supplies are either compromised by water or really hard to resupply. And so the last three big natural disasters that we talk about, we now have a body of evidence where our police fleet that chose propane autogas really because of the benefits of the cost of savings and the emissions benefit, all of a sudden we see how the police fleet now have a really ready response when they are operating on anything other than diesel or gasoline. And so our experience around Harvey was most interesting when not only the police fleet and a few other paratransit agencies, but also Dish Network is a great example. Dish Network brought all their propane vehicles into the Houston area because they were able to find fuel readily available, not compromised, and they got their customers back up and running. We saw the same thing in Florida when we had Hurricane Irma just recently, in that we used school buses operating on propane to move subdivisions of people out. We used quite a few paratransit agencies operating on propane to move the elderly that needed to be moved from nursing homes and move them out. And so, and again, the police fleet responded. So while all of these agencies went to propane for the emissions benefits or for the economic benefits, what we see now is that third benefit of having resiliency when the other fuels are compromised. And the body of evidence continues to grow. You know, propane was always the fuel of choice for standby power generation.
Absolutely.
For backup power. And we see that routinely. But now as we move to see that fleet are operating on propane autogas, not only are the emissions better, that cost of operation lower, but now there's a resiliency benefit when their gasoline and diesel supplies are compromised. And it's a great story that we're really loving to tell now.
It is a great story. And as we come to the end of our program here, Tucker, can you tell our listeners more about where they can learn more about the benefits of propane?
Well, we always love to tell people to start with propane.com. That's really our website that talks about all things that consumers would want to know, whether they're an existing user of propane or they're just interested about some of these other new applications that we talk about, whether it's in power generation or vehicles or commercial mowing or some of those traditional markets like forklift and agricultural. We always want them to start with propane.com, and we always invite them to contact us at the Propane Education and Research Council. And we love to advocate and educate for those who want to learn more about propane.
Well, thank you, Tucker, for being on our show today. And that will do it for today's edition of Green Fleet Radio. Thank you again to Tucker Perkins, CEO of the Propane Education and Research Council. I'm your host, Carl Lissick. Thanks for joining us. And remember, it's never too late to begin your environmental legacy.